All right, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans with Romans chapter 10. In the last chapter, Paul had really hammered home the issue of God's will prevailing over man's will and man's works. And the predestination and how God really is in control. I mean, God is in control. That is how all things work to good for them that love God, because God can make even the worst circumstances, like the Israelite in captivity to the Egyptians, work for good in the end for them. Anyways, even the wickedness of Pharaoh. So anyways, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Wow. Now I read that. Now Paul's talking about Israel, and he's going back. You know, remember he said, my conscience bearing me witness, I have continual sorrow and heaviness in my heart for Israel. Honestly, I feel this way about American Christianity. My heart's desire and prayer for Christians in America is that they might be saved. And I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and have gone about to establish their own righteousness. Well, how is that? Well, because the idea of many in Christianity of what righteousness is that God looks at them while they continue in sin and declares them righteous anyways. And they get the term, I've heard it talked about, you know, a lot of the Reformation teaching, sinner saints. Etc. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. God's righteousness is perfect. And see, and they think, well, you know, okay, well, so they'll go out and try to perfect themselves. But they go about trying to do it, again, they go back to doing it by the law. Whether it be with trying to have some very simplistic gospel where it makes your works so minimal that it seems like, well, it's no work. Oh, I've got to accept Jesus. I mean, though we have to accept Jesus, just like we have to fulfill all the other forms of righteousness. But that is not how we curry favor with God. That is not how we enter into grace. We enter into grace very simply by this, by God. Before we're born, he knows us ahead of time. That's the one I'm going to have grace on. That's how you enter in. See, there's no human activity, no human will involved. It's completely driven by God. That's the truth. Okay? And see, people don't submit themselves to the righteousness of God because they don't believe the righteousness of God is attainable. Because people have tried and failed. And so then they look on that and they say, well, people have tried and failed. So I guess it's impossible. Right? But in order to obtain the righteousness of God, we have to submit ourselves to it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to be willing, you know, like for Abraham to have the son of promise, Isaac, he had to submit himself to believing that Sarah was going to have a child. And the picture of going after establishing your own righteousness were the attempts made with Hagar. So, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's the end of the law. There is, you know, and people still try, they're like, oh, you got to obey the Sabbath, you got to obey the... No. No. I do not seek to justify myself by looking at the rules. Though those do, they tell you when you're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? But you take the whole counsel of God. The reason I don't hold certain days in special honor is because Jesus showed a certain lack in that department. I mean, in the New Testament, it is clear that these honoring of these days and stuff is not the righteousness of God. Not anymore. That's legalism. On this particular day, I'm going to exhibit extra holiness. I don't have any more holiness to do than I do every day. You know what I mean? If I'm not doing it all every day, it's hypocrisy for me to just try to show a little extra on a particular day. You know what I mean? Like, well, throughout the week I'm a sinner, but on Sunday I'm a saint. Or on Saturday. As if the particular day would help you. To when you seek to do it by the law. Christ is the end of the law. The law is done with. All the law can do is witness to your righteousness. That's it. It is not going to accuse you. Here. Verse 5. For Moses, and why doesn't it accuse you? I said that now. Why doesn't it accuse you? Because if you obtain the righteousness of God, there's no law that can say anything against you. Because Christ is judge. We read that back in chapter 7, 8, somewhere around there. For Moses describeth the righteousness. That was 8, because who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God. It's Christ that judgeth. Yea, that is raised from the dead. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. I mean, if you do the things contained in the law, then you will live. But the righteousness, so this is like a threat. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend to the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, people think, okay, that if I believe, then that's righteousness. It's like Abraham. Yeah, he believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But the promise he believed in was eventually fulfilled. Now, go back to verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith is this, on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who's going to go up to heaven? You know, to bring Christ down. Let's bring the revelation down. Bring Messiah to us. Or who shall descend into the deep? These are quotations from Leviticus. No, I'm sorry. That's verse 5 about Moses. Moses saith in Leviticus 5, the man that doeth these things shall live by them. But this is quoted from Deuteronomy 30. Verses 12 through 14. Who shall ascend into heaven? You know, the word is near you. Because this is what faith does. God, as I was saying in previous chapter, he implants things in you by grace. By the Spirit of God, he gives you things that enable you to fulfill the word of God. Whereas the law was set up so that you have to do stuff. There's things you have to do. Here's your list. Do them and you will live. No. The righteousness of faith is like, you don't have to go up to heaven or go down to the bottom of the sea to find the truth or to find righteousness or to obtain things from God. You don't have to go, you know, that's it. Like, we have to go up to heaven and get Jesus to come back so we can know the truth. Or it will bring up Christ from the dead so we can know. So we can obtain. So he can intercede for us. The word is nigh at hand. It's near. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is what comes of faith. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if Now here's the Romans 10 road, as they say. They love this verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And they want to stop there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. See, you believe unto righteousness. But like I said, don't stop believing. Don't turn aside from the path you began on. Like, what if Abraham, like when God first came to him and said, you're going to have a son, he believed it then. I don't think Abraham's a good example because it doesn't go anywhere because the child came, right? Would he stop believing then? But let's say that Sarah didn't conceive right away and he stopped believing that the child was going to come. That's not faith, right? And that's, I would say, people's faith is they haven't believed in the fullness of the promises of God and of the gospel that Jesus Christ has declared. Because the grace of God is here to teach us something. It's supposed to teach us that we should deny ungodly lusts and worldliness, or ungodliness and worldly lust. And we should live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. The grace of God, that's what it's supposed to be leading to us. Let grace reign through righteousness, right? And believing will bring about righteousness. This is what Paul's been teaching the whole time. And this verse is really no different. But the problem is people, they take this verse out of context, verse 9, and they'll say, see, believing in itself is righteousness. And it is. Because it says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But they don't understand. See, Paul, it wasn't finished there. And he could say, and that's it, and there's nothing more. See, no, though, that's what those preachers say. But what the scriptures say is that he went on. You know, it says, how shall we yield ourselves to sin, etc., etc., etc. And it says, if you do these things, that's the promise, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you've got to believe, oh, then I'm not going to ever do those things because I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to go from faith to faith. Not from faith to unbelief, which is a lot of times the way people go. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that. I believe that I will be saved, but I don't believe that. Mm-mm. That is, now you failed. You don't, because you know, here's the thing. Because faith is a gift. What you failed at is you failed to exhibit faith that comes from God. Because faith from God does believe these things. It believes all these things. Faith from God leads you to righteousness. The faith that is otherwise, that is from within you and all that, it's like, it's not the faith of Him. It's not the faith of God. The faith that He teaches, the faith that we receive from the apostles. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, you know, mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, we must believe. Right? And then we will follow. Continue believing. It's like when Jesus asked the rich young ruler, he said, oh, you know, what must I do to be saved? He's like, I've done all these things. Well, then sell what you have and follow me. Oh, can't do that. Faith failed him because he did not have faith. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And you will not. If you believe on the promises of God, as they have been declared by the Apostle Paul, if you believe that you will, you know, if you believe that things that we've been learning, you know, that the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death, so that we no longer are trapped in these laws of mind and members and sin and all that, and that the flesh, if you can believe that to be, you know, that spiritually minded is life and peace, and that if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin and the spirit is life because of righteousness, if you can follow the teachings, you will never be ashamed. If you, not just, you don't have to, you know, the thing is, God gives it to you. He will give you the ability to fulfill His word. but you must believe that he's going to give it. It's like Abraham didn't faint because he was old. Some people would say, well, he's too old to have children. And you could say of me, he was too ungodly to ever become like Christ, right? But Abraham did not faint. See, when I looked at myself, when it was declared to me that I had to be righteous, I didn't look at myself and say, I'm too unrighteous. I can't be righteous. I said, yes, then God, give it to me. For there's no difference. And if you believe, you will not be ashamed. Because he's going to stand by his promise to those whom he has given faith. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call? And remember the whole point, that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. What he's saying is that it's like you don't have to be that seed. But I'll tell you what, there is a difference between Jacob and Esau, okay? But it's not because, it has to do with the calling of God and what God and the gifts that God gives. But they're not universally applied. They're applied according to his purposes. It's not of him that wills or of him that runs. It's not of what you do. It's not because you call on God, it's because he chose you that you do call on him. And he will not let you be ashamed. And this is how you will be saved, because God is powerful in salvation. He does not fail. You know, if God loves you, there's no way you're going to die. He's going to save you. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, from the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament. So, you know, the point is that it's got to, the word has to get out there. The word has to be brought. They have to hear. That's the calling of God. The calling of God is when you hear the gospel. And he's got to send, he's got to do these things, he's got to, you know, there's works that have to be done on the part, and God is doing these works, but he does them in men. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So, and that's quoted from Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him, as a sapling out of a dead tree, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no stature nor splendor. And when we see him, no beauty that we should delight in him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of anguish and acquainted with grief. And we, as it were, hid our faces from him. You know, that's the place in the book of Isaiah where it says that, you know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But to those who do believe. 17 is very important. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. But it is a gift. You know why? Because not everyone can hear God's word. People hear this word of God and they're thinking nonsense. Or they're thinking, I can't believe it. God has to do something. You know, like Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Right? Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Right? They be blind leaders of the blind. The ability to hear the gospel and the truth, to be able to accept it, is the mark of the calling of God. And that's the call. I mean, many are called, but few are chosen. But if you follow on in faith, I know that the works of God will be manifest in you. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's Psalm 19, verse 4. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 32, Song of Moses. With a foolish nation. And with those who are not a people, not his people. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. Isaiah 65 verse 1. I mean, people who weren't looking for God find him. You know, people say, well, seek and you shall find. Yes, yes, yes. But there's a certain aspect of the God is whether you realize it or not. He is the one who arranges circumstances and causes you to seek him. He causes you to find him when you weren't really looking for him. He said, I said, and he doesn't quote the rest of it here, but he said, I know this because I got a song for these, many of these I have in song. Just go to the oraclesofgod.org and look down all the songs, and you'll find that many of these chapters that are quoted here are, you know, Isaiah 65, Isaiah 53. You know, you'll find songs for the, I was sought of them that asked not for me. I was found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me to a people that were not called by my name. And then here's from Isaiah 6, I have stretched out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not right. And he was talking of their hypocrisy. That's where it says, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. All day long I have stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people, verse 21. That's what he's saying to Israel. And he's saying it to Christianity today. To many in Christianity, because to them pertain the promises now, because they were raised in the Bible. I mean, things have kind of changed since Paul wrote these things. Not that the Jews are counted out. Don't count the Jews out by any means. To them still pertain the promises. And as he said, well, he hasn't said it. I think he's going to say it in chapter 11. I didn't even really look at what it's saying. But don't count the Jews out yet. Because like he says, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. No, he has not cast away Israel, the seed of Abraham, as we call them, the Jews. He's not cast them away at all. But, as he says, blindness has happened to them. In part. They're partially blind.